Okay, this coming Shabbos, we'll have the opportunity to read Parshas Vayishlach, which, of course, is jam-packed with a tremendous amount of interaction between Yaakov Avinu and the nations of the world. I remember the chief rabbi of Netanya, Rav Kalman Ber Shalita, who at the time was one of the Rebbeim in Kerem Bi'Avon, who told me before I went overseas to make sure that I read the first 10 psukim of Parshas Vayishlach very seriously, because they talk about how one can interact with the world, and it would set a potential for me as I went ahead to enter the world and leave Eretz Yisrael. So Yaakov Avinu begins the Parsha in that preparatory stage. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. Yaakov sent messengers to Esav, and Rashi comes along and tells us that he sent real angels. What's the point of pointing out Malachim Mamish? What's the point of Rashi's comment? So Moreno Harav Shechter, Rav Shechter Shalita, would often note that even when Yaakov was so busy working, and he pointed that out in last week's Sedra, he was so busy taking care of his father-in-law's sheep and everything that was involved, and he worked for, you know, over 20 years in the process, and he describes this in detail, but still he had loftier things on his mind. He still interacted with Malachim. This, says Rav Shechter, is the intention of the Mishnah in Perikei Avos, where we're told, "Asei Torascha Kevo Malachtecha Arai," that Torah should be primary on your mind, and your Malacha should not be. People should make sure that no matter what occupies their day, even if it's not quantitatively Torah primary, the experience is should be Torah-centered and growth-centered. We need to be Torah-centered in order to be growth-centered. And those who do so, Rav Shechter would tell us, will always have loftier celestial matters on their mind all the time. Malachim Mamish will not be a foreign idea for such an individual. So Yaakov Avinu goes ahead and he sends the messengers, and then he splits up the children, and he makes the declaration in Yavo Esav el HaMachaneh HaRachas V'Iko, if Esav will come to the particular camp and he defeats one of the camps, Vayana Machaneh Anisha Lefleta, the rest of the camp that remains will be able to run away. So Ramban comes along over here and he says that Yaakov Avinu prepared with prayer, with sending gifts, and preparing for war. In his introduction to the parsha, though, he notes that we should learn from Yaakov to prepare with prayer and gifts, and not with war, but rather with hatzalah. So which is it? Is it about preparing for battle, or is it preparing for being able to run away in order to be able to have a hatzalah? So the late Chevron Rosh Yeshiva of Simcha Zissel Brady Zechatanak Levracha explains that what the Ramban is explaining Yaakov Avinu's actions, he speaks about the preparing for the eventuality of war. However, in learning our lessons, we're told that our lessons in preparation are to focus on the idea of Hatzalah, of saving. And the reason why is that we've been made to promise, according to the Gemara in Ksubas, Naf Kuf Yad Aleph Amud Aleph, not to conduct an offensive war based on the rules of Lo Ya'alu B'choma. If a person doesn't have the option, then of course you have to conduct the offensive. But if a person, Jews are not supposed to be warmongering. When they have these situations, they're supposed to seek the opportunities to save lives. That's how they go ahead and proceed. But, says Rav Simcha Zissel, if you have no choice, then you can. The war doesn't have to just simply stop at the defense. Sometimes the best defense is a good offense. Anyway, so Yaakov Avinu finishes the first aliyah, and the family crosses Ma'avar Yabok, and the Torah tells us, Vayivaser Yaakov levado, Yaakov remained alone. And simply put, the pasuk is telling us that since he was alone, therefore he had to go ahead and fight Esav's malach. So the Medrash, though, provides a deeper lesson that seems to be quite popular at our simchas, where we base a pasuk on in Yishayo, which declares V'nisgav Hashem levado, and that's somehow connected to Vayivaser Yaakov levado. And Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that the name Yisrael speaks to the idea of Shlemus. It's through that Shlemus that one gets to experience the V'nisgav Hashem Levado. And how does Yaakov get that chance? Because he was alone. And that is to say, Rav Nassim Tzvi added, he didn't understand how one could satisfy his Gemara learning with a simple daf when a person could alone manage to do two. Or to learn for 8 hours when he can handle 12 hours. In other words, a person has to go ahead and set goals in life, levado, not based on comparing himself to everyone around him. And Rav Nosson Tzvi begged people not to compare to the tzibur. Don't be so tied on the cultural norms. Set individual goals for yourself. Yaakov Avinu looked at himself alone, and even when he was attacked from the threat of common man, Vayevik Ish Imo, he stayed on himself and his own goals, and he was successful. Then the Torah tells us, as he went ahead after this battle with the Malach, he goes ahead and he gets ready to welcome Esav. And so the Pasuk says, Vayasem es ha-shvachos es yaldein rishona, ves leah v'yaladeh acharonim, ves rachel ves Yosef acharonim. He places the shvachos, the handmaidens, and their children first, and Leah and her kids last, and Yosef and Rachel last, and Rashi over here comments, acharon, acharon chabib. Now this is odd. When it comes to pikuach nefesh, one's not allowed to place his own interests first. So why then would it be acceptable over here? So Melech Biederman Shlita quotes the Shinover Rebbe the Divrei Yecheskel, who notes that Halokim Yevakesh Es Nirdaf, seemingly suggesting that Hashem gives better protection to those who are downtrodden and shamed. And thus, although being appreciated more than Bilhah and Zilpah, Leah knew that she was in the middle. She was a primary wife, not a shivcha, but she was not exactly Rachel and Leah. Acharon, acharon, chaviv. And so, says Rav Melech, quoting the Shinover Divrei Yecheskel, the question is, Halokim Yevakesh Es Nirdaf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeks out the one who is downtrodden, who is open to shame. Therefore, if Hashem is already out there taking the protection, the Shvachos and their children needed less protection than the Imahos. And the Imahos, between the two of them, Leah, needed less protection than Rachel, because Leah knew that she was somewhere in the middle over there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would, between the two of them, Halokim Yevakesh Es Nirdaf. And thus, when Yaakov Avinu set up the order, in reverse order, of those who needed the most protection, he wasn't placing Rachel and Yosef in a better position for the purposes of personal gain. He was putting Rachel and Yosef in a better position because they needed more protection. And then, of course, Yaakov gets past this situation, and he convinces Esav not to live with him and not to wait for him, Ad Asher Yavo El Adoni Seira. And then Yaakov goes ahead and he sets himself up. Vayikra lo Kel Elokei Yisrael. He called him God, the God of Israel. Kel, the God of Israel. Rashi explains that Hashem called Yaakov Kel. Now, nowhere is this seen as a chait. But there is a strange Medrash Rabbah, where the Medrash Rabbah offers a different position, suggesting that Yaakov was saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules in the heavens, and I, Yaakov Avinu, I'll be able to be Moshe on this earth. And for this statement, the Medrash says, Yaakov was punished. How was Yaakov punished? Yaakov was punished with the episode of Dinah. How could it be that the Gemara and Rashi see no sin on Yaakov Avinu's behalf here, and the Medrash finds the episode, the prelude to the one with Dinah? It doesn't make sense. So Rav Shach Zecher Tzadik Livracha explains that the two positions actually don't contradict. Hashem raised Yaakov not to think of himself as less than the other people. He needed to value his position among men. And so therefore, Yaakov said, Hashem said to him, I want you to know that you have a status. However, you also need to know that you weren't done growing. And so therefore, as far as his relationship with Hashem was concerned, Yaakov needed to know that he certainly had further to go. And therefore, if Yaakov didn't see himself as valuable, he wouldn't have bothered to see his uniqueness in front of the people. But if he was too haughty, your Moshe Lamala Ani Lamata, then you won't go ahead and appreciate how much further you need to go. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu held it against him. But they say Dina Basleya, and of course we learn about how Dina, the daughter of Leah, went out. And the Medrash tells us that Yaakov was punished for hiding Dina from Esav. Wasn't Yaakov correct in the process? Isn't one supposed to be careful not to marry off his daughter to an Amaharetz? Why is that deemed to be a problem? So Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz Echad Tzadik Levracha quotes the Alter of Kalm, Zatzal, who says that it wasn't the action itself, it was the way that it was done that led to the stringency of punishment against Yaakov Avinu. And sometimes it's not the action that we choose, but the reasoning behind the action that leads Hashem to go ahead and choose to deal with us in a certain way. And Hashem, when he goes ahead and deals with us, judges us in totality. It's a frightening thought, but a sobering one as well. There's sometimes an opportunity for us that comes up in that regard. Anyway, we also learn that Vayelech Reuven Vayishkav Espela Pilegesh Aviv Vayishma Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu hears about this episode with Reuven, whatever the episode was. Rav Chaim Sabato Shalita, the famous Rosh Yeshiva Malei Adumim, notes that throughout the parasha we find Yaakov learning things here about Reuven, about Shimon and Levi, about Dina, where Yaakov seems to be capable of remaining calm. It should just be pointed out, parenthetically, that my friend Rav Shai Shachter Shlita has pointed out that this is one of those lessons that Masa Avos has to be a Simon Labanim. Even when we're in moments of our greatest challenge, we need to stop and remind ourselves that we need to give an opportunity for us to be calm. Still, it was only at the time of Yaakov Avinu's death that he reacts the way that he does and addresses the episode. Why is it that if he was capable of being calm, like Rabbi Shai Shachter suggests, why is it that at the time of his death that he responds? So Rav Sabato explains that Yaakov Avinu led a life that he calls Ma'at Veroim, with many challenges. And challenges present both negativity and trauma, but also opportunity to see Hashem's Hashgacha in the world. Yaakov chooses in every episode to first seek out Hashgachas Hashem. In all of the tough moments before reacting, Yaakov Avinu attempts to figure out what Hashem wants of him in the situation. And even when he declares, Ma'at Viroim, even when he declares that my life is a miserable life, he uses that phrase later to go ahead and explain, Hamalach HaGoel Osimi Korah. No matter what the Roim was, Hamalach HaGoel, for the Jew in Galus, for whom Yaakov Avinu serves as a model, has choices to make as to how to look at his history, as one of trauma that can't be overcome, or as one of a series of steps towards divine destiny. We have the choice. If we turn and learn the lesson, we'll be able to thrive, just as Yaakov Avinu does. Finally, in the Haftorah, we learn the entire book of Ovadia, which is a grand total of one perek. And Ovadia makes the declaration early on, Hine katone saticha bagoyim, bazui atama'od. Behold, you're the smallest of the nations, and you're very much despised. And why is Esav called the most despised? It doesn't make sense. There are a lot of nations in the world. Why Esav? So Rav Aaron Cutler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that when Esav turned away from having a relationship with Hashem, when he engaged in Vayochal, Vayisht, Vayakam, Vayelach, when he saw Vayivez Esav as a Bechora, he despised the Bechora. In turn, he turned around and was Bazui Atam Ma'od. You became Bazui. Why is that? So Rav Aaron explained that when you turn away from having a relationship with Hashem, you give up on the raison d'etre for living. Somebody who has no purpose in existence is quite small-minded, and somebody who's small-minded is quite despised. We have to have loftier goals in our lives, and we have to establish ourselves, and when we do so, not only will we be zocha to a wonderful Shabbos, but a Shabbat Shalom Uvorach Liyom Shekulo Shabbos Umnucha Lechaye Ho'olamim. Shabbat Shalom to all.